sick, you think we're dumb. You want us blind and you want us drugged. You want us poor while you get more of everything. But you don't get to tell me what to think and what to do. You don't get to tell me what is true. Cause you're just liars, cheats and crooks. Change the rules and you burn the books. And so I don't believe a single word you say. You're all liars, fakes and cons. Want you out and we want you gone. So don't believe this time you'll get away. You want us tricked, you want us numb. You want us scared and you want us stumped. You want us shot and you want us fought in every way. You want our minds, you want our time. Us framed up in your crimes. I hope you know that it's time to go. And we're taking names. Cause you don't get to tell us what to think and what to do. No, you don't get to tell us what is true. Cause you're just liars, cheats and crooks. Change the rules and you burn the books. And so we don't believe a single word you say. You're all liars, fakes and cons.
Good evening, everyone. Let me see. We should be here. We should be here. And hope you're all doing okay this evening. How are you all? Let me see. Now we have the wonderful Lynn Ertel joining us this evening. We may have Fake Nukes, but I'm not sure if he is going to join us in the end. And we did have Lynn on camera there, but I think she's going off camera. That is, oh, there she is. Hi, Lynn.
Hey.
See you.
Good to see you.
Thanks for joining this evening. Good evening to everyone in our chat. Very busy chat already. Fantastic to see you all there. That is a group called Five Times August. That's their new song. So I think it's quite appropriate for our theme this evening. Lots of liars, cheats and crooks there over in the States at the moment. What's new? Are you enjoying the selection season? Lynn, I shouldn't even mention it.
It's obviously it seems to be the preferred topic of the mainstream media. It's all they're talking about is this ridiculous debate that took place. That if you saw any of it, you realize how ridiculous it was. But my thinking on this is that there's kind of a dual messaging going on. One aspect of it is to show us that it doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter who's the president, because if you can have a bumbling, fungling, senile, demented, inarticulate guy standing up there who doesn't have a clue and tell people, oh, yeah, he's been your president for the last 3 years. What are they saying about the office itself? They're saying it's just a front. And they're saying that the real decisions are made behind the scenes, and that the bumbler who you happen to see in front of you really doesn't have any power at all. That's got to, I don't know how anyone can walk away from watching that spectacle on television and still be in denial about this. Can you explain that to me? That there are people, yet at the same time, they think they're going to keep people plugged in to the process of a presidential campaign and a presidential election. And I compare this to what's going on in Europe, especially in the UK right now, where there's sort of a malaise about elections, where people increasingly are saying there's no difference between any of the political parties. All of the celebrities who are conducting these political campaigns they're fake, they're actors. And there's nothing really of substance going on here, nothing real going on here. And I think maybe Europeans may be a little more savvy, more comprehending of this situation than Americans. There are a lot of Americans that still think it's real. I don't know how they can continue to believe that. Of course, those are the ones that I guess still believe in Donald Trump. Because how could anybody still be defending the Biden presidency when it's clear that whoever they're putting out there is Joe Biden is just an empty suit? That guy couldn't possibly be making any decisions. Everybody knows that. So why the pretense? Anyway, I not to beat it to death, but It takes me into a field that I kind of stay away from, which is demonic possession.
Well, I think you need to confront us.
Yeah, I have a video here that I wanted to share from April of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
It's created by a guy on BitChute named High Impact Flicks, who I'm pretty much very much disappointed with, because I don't think he always gets it.
But no, I know who you mean, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But this particular video is very interesting, and if I can screen share it.
Try to do that there. Just go into, can you see screen share?
Yes, and
I'm sorry to have that buffoon there up on the, oh yes, hold on, add to stage, yeah.
Got it. Okay, now, I want to play some of this. And now I'll give you a little background. Well, actually, let him introduce it. Let me start it at about 3 minutes here. Here you go. Now, everybody stop and remember what was going on in April of 2020, because that's when they really tried to panic the hell out of people, claiming that all these bodies were dropping dead because of the COVID. Do we all remember that? Because it seems to me like people kind of want to erase it from their memory. Mm-hmm. How gaslighted everybody was, how panicked and hysterical everybody was.
Filing, taking pictures, taking selfies.
Guys.
Now let me put this in context. To me, this was sort of almost the high watermark of the scare. I mean, think back to the way people were acting and speaking and behaving in April of 2020. There was this huge panic, and we were being told that thousands of people were dying from this epidemic. But here you are, right there in the middle of Manhattan, New York City, with fire engines and cops. And they bring these nurses from this medical facility right out onto the street. Nurses, medical techs, whoever they are. Maybe they're actors. I don't know. But I want you to look at the faces of these people. Some of them are masked and some of them are not.
Lynn, can I just ask you, can you lower the screen a bit? Because we're only getting the sort of the bottom two thirds of it.
How's that?
Yeah, now you have it. Yeah, you might be able to do even a wider shot of the screen and get rid of the, I don't know if you go into full screen on it, maybe, and get rid of the, yeah, no, that will do. Okay, so they're all masked up.
Let me try full screen.
Yeah.
Does that help a little bit?
Does, yeah, if you squeeze it in, make it less wide, make it a bit more narrow, I'd say.
That's kind of hard to do. Wait a minute.
Don't worry, it's fine. We can see it.
Right. Let me get it going again because all the cameras. Look at all the television
just
cameras.
Think about this for a second, okay? A lot of people aren't wearing their masks. Some people are. They're not practicing social distancing. They've walked out of the hospital for this photo op, for this celebratory moment with contaminated clothing on in the streets of New York, in the context of major infection, supposedly, major death, supposedly, and they're living in direct contradiction of everything that we're supposed to be locked in our homes for, that we're losing our freedoms for, that we're closing our businesses and losing our livelihoods for. And they're flaunting, seemingly, YouTube, in the street with contaminated clothing, no less. What do you guys think about this? Stick around because the guy who's holding the camera is going to interview a couple of people on the street and a couple of these nurses about, hey, what's really going on there? Is it really as busy in there as mainstream media is telling us? How about all the dead bodies? What's going on?
How busy do you think they're inside? How busy do you think they are inside?
He asks her, how busy are they inside? And she says, pretty busy, I imagine. There's all this death, destruction, mayhem, contagion. And it looks like all the nurses are outside while death is happening on the inside. They're outside celebrating of over 5,400.
All right, so I don't want to play that to death, but there's a point I'm making about this. I really have a hard time wrapping my head around the expressions on the faces of these nurses. I just don't get it.
You're joking.
They're having a time of their lives. It's like a
contaminated
party.
Clothing. These nurses that came out of this emergency services center, not practicing the social distancing.
You're surprised by this, Lynn. You're surprised.
To me, this is demonic.
Of course it is. Now, I have to show you the page 2 of our new edition of the Irish Light. This is one of the most, I mean, we know that these creatures, they dance. Dancing is part of their satanic ritual. this sort of weird dancing that they do, sort of very sexualized. And look, it's just that sums it up. Heroes don't dance during a tragedy. We had our police, couldn't even call them police. They were out dancing while they were beating people over the heads for going out of their 2K or even leaving their home for non-essential reasons. And they were out bloody well dancing on beaches. So, I mean, complete, it's pure evil. But do people see it?
Very difficult for me to wrap my head around. I don't know what I'd say to one of these people if I came up to them, you know, if I confronted them. I mean, have you ever tried to talk to one of these people? I'm trying to imagine what it must be like to actually communicate with one of these people in a way that makes sense. What would they say? How would they explain themselves?
They're dead inside. The ones that are still in there are dead. They're dead inside. Yeah. Like, they have no empathy. There's a few, a handful, that said, no way, I'm not having anything to do with this. And they walked out. And now they have no jobs or whatever. Or they're still working in the system, but they don't want anything to do with any of the evil. But
I watched that video by High Impact Flicks back in April of 2020. And at the time, here, I'll let it run a little bit.
From the World Health Organization, from the CDC, from the White House, from state functionaries, just out in the open being celebrated.
The close-ups really got just to me.
Taking photos, smiling, laughing, joking around. This does not fit with an atmosphere that's saturated with this number right here. Or especially this number right here. People being placed on ventilators. They can't breathe. Their lungs are filling up with fluid. Things are horrible. This doesn't seem like a fitting picture in the context of so much death.
Talk about cognitive dissonance. Talk about inappropriate emotional
overworked, short-staffed.
And look at all the cops and the firemen. They're in on this.
Firemen all in the streets. People standing around. Guys, I just want to impress upon you. 138,863 confirmed cases in New York. That's a lot of people. These are a lot of deaths. They're saying they're stacking them in freezer trucks. It's so bad. How is this fitting at all? The people are standing around like they don't have anything better to do. Like, almost like there's no confirmed cases.
Think about the resources involved in this. The cost. The fire trucks, the cops. And it's all for show. It's all theater. And people know it's theater, but they're going along with it. They're happy to go along with it.
They're all brainwashed as well. Then, yeah. You know, they're all completely brainwashed.
Yeah.
A lot of them are. You
know, the cops and the firemen have got to know that this was fake. They've got to know it.
Of course they knew it was fake. Yep. No, I get the absolute point. It seems like going back into distant history, really, looking at all of that. I mean, we went to...
waving. Oh, what fun we're all having. Oh, isn't this great? Why are they celebrating? I guess maybe they're getting paid, and that's why they're celebrating. Maybe the ones in the masks or in the scrubs, the hospital scrubs, are happy because they're making overtime or something. I don't know. But this isn't unique to New York City. But I want to say, I look upon New York City as a fallen city, mostly because of 9/11. When you consider that it's now been 23 years that the people of New York City have had the time to say or do something about 9/11, and they haven't. So my thinking on 9/11, if there were a God, if there were a just God, the ground would open up, the earth would open up and swallow the island of Manhattan and burn it in hell. That's how I feel about New York City now. Now, if any of your viewers or listeners have been following what's going on in New York City, the place really is becoming just like that movie, Escape from New York. Everybody should watch that. It is becoming kind of a Thunderdome, Mad Max place. Rampant crime on the streets. Businesses leaving every day. Anybody who can get out of New York City is getting out, except, I guess, for the illegal migrants who they're bringing in. And I try not to be too subjective about this. I try not to be too judgmental about the people of New York City. But I don't want to call it New York City anymore. I want to call it Prostitute City. I want to call it 9/11 Town. Because that's what this video says to me, that these people are thoroughly prostituted. I don't know how it could get worse.
Well, you see, I think also, Lynn, that that's why they're doing this big psyop with the elections, because they're clearly just laughing at the American people. I mean, they're basically saying that Biden represents the average American. And when I say American, I'm talking also for the people of Ireland, England, the continent. You know, like we're all equally, they're all equally stupid. They're all equally taken in.
It's a takedown of Western culture, isn't it? It's a takedown of the West.
Yeah. They're definitely also trying to make Trump look like the hero in all of this, because they want him in, and they're going to put him in more than likely. And
they're going to do that. Yeah,
we know what he's going to do. I mean, he's going to bring in the death penalty for anti-Semites like us. And then there's also a big psyop going on at the moment with the French. I mean, we don't want to discuss elections because we know they're all rigged, but it's just to give people a little sense of what it's about. But what they're doing, let me see, can I, what's that there? Hold on. Now, I just want to see, I don't know whether you're following the Le Pen stuff.
We're told that her party won a majority in the last election, and therefore the right, what they're calling the right, will now be, I guess, taking power in France.
The far right. You see, they have to give Europe a bit of a dopamine rush. So they're putting her forward. Of course, they're completely and totally controlled. And guess who's absolutely delighted that she's going to be put in as French president? The Jews. So we know if the Jews are happy, it's going to be very bad for the rest of us. But they don't let these far right parties get into power if they're going to be good for Europe or for the people of Europe or the people of America, the people of the West. So it's just one psyop after the other as far as politics is concerned. Just to be ignored, right?
Well, they're using them as stooges, I guess. Because, you know, Trump is not his own man. He's completely controlled. He'll flip-flop 180 degrees on a dime just from a phone call. That's how much they control him. Yeah. But his millions of followers still think he's the real thing. So you may be right. Their plan may be to put Trump back in there. I thought for a while they really were going to do something with RFK Jr. But I don't know if he's on the ballot in enough states to possibly be possible as a president, whether he'd have enough electoral votes. I was kind of hoping that he would spoil it for the Democrats and Republicans so that it'll be impossible for anybody to claim that the election was stolen, which is another rabbit hole to take us down. Of course, all elections are rigged. They're not telling us anything new by telling us that elections are rigged. By the way, I heard Trump repeat it again in a speech to one of his rallies today or yesterday, where he said rigged. The 2020 election was rigged. Now, this is a guy, he was president, and now he's a presidential candidate again, and he is saying your elections are rigged. Now, how are Americans supposed to digest that? They can either deny it or they can accept it. And if they accept it, what is the implication of that? What is the implication of the Republican Party's presidential candidate telling you your presidential election was rigged? Well, why vote? Why bother to even vote if that's the case? So the messaging that's going on here is, how do I put it? It's kind of fast and loose and full of contradictions. So if Trump is saying they rigged the 2020 election, well, how do you know they won't rig the 2024? And what are you saying we should do? We should go out and vote anyway in a rigged election? Mm-hmm. How is that going to play out, do you think?
They could also be trying to, obviously anyone with half a brain cell can see that Biden is not compos mentis. So they could be using the debate as a means of saying, look, we're going to have to bring someone else in like Gavin Newsom or Michael Obama or Kamala Harris. So that could be another. But look, anyway, we shouldn't even discuss it because it's just giving
it's
it
a psyop. It's a psyop. It's just another psyop.
It's a psyop. Now, speaking of psyops, I want to bring you closer to home, to Ireland, because you've been analyzing the big psyop going on here at the moment. I'm sorry to subject everyone to this little reminder, but it's going to be great to get your take on this. Lynn, we'll just refresh everyone's memory of the national embarrassment that's going on at the moment.
Are dead. Sorry.
Now, last week, an Irish Defence Forces soldier received a 3-year fully suspended sentence after attacking Natasha O'Brien on the street in 2022.
And we are very privileged to have Natasha join us this morning. Natasha, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us. It's a pleasure to have you here. How are you doing?
Thank you, Marian. Thank you, Tommy. It's great to be here. I felt completely alone after the whole ordeal last week.
It's only short, this clip.
But to know I have so much support, to know I have so many people behind me, to know people are so proud of me. It's really just so honourable to be here. And it's just, I was the victim of a serious assault.
What happened,
Natasha?
I remember when we kind of just said, lads, come on now. And my attacker, he just turned towards me. He was really angry that how dare I tell him he cannot be verbally abusive to somebody? Like, how dare anyone hold him accountable for his actions?
What?
How dare I tell him he cannot be verbally abusive to somebody? Like, how dare anyone hold him accountable for his actions? And so he grabbed me by the hair and just started punching me repeatedly into the face. I felt like a punching bag, like when you're holding the punching bag and it was pretty.
I think we've had enough of that. But here she is at Pride, of course, over the weekend. This is particularly, look away if you're feeling, obviously, everyone is feeling nauseous.
Shouting disgusting homophobic abuse on our streets.
So, Lynn, we've been subjected to this. We have been subjected to this for longer than a week.
And this is clown world. It's clown world, right? Clown world, is that what we're calling this?
I mean, it is. I mean, look, this has been the best hoax ever, because you could try and waken them up with the COVID. No. You could try and waken them up with the 16 boosters. No. You could try and waken them up with the climate hoax in Ireland when it's, lashing every day in summer. No. But this one comes along. And she has woken up so much. So I'm really grateful to her. So many people are seeing through this BS.
Well, that's my That's the case I'm making for self, like that picture right there. One picture's worth a thousand words. You know, that's self-evident truth. The self-evident truth in this case is what any psychiatrist would call extreme inappropriate emotional affect, right? Oh, they just murdered my child, so I'm laughing on camera, you know, or oh, I was subjected to this terrible, brutal attack, and watch me giggling and beaming and laughing about it. I'm so happy. That's extreme inappropriate emotional affect. And it's usually an indication of mental illness, but it can also be an indication that someone's putting you on, or duping delight, as we call it. Duping delight. Why? What is this? They seem to enjoy participating in these things. And maybe they are laughing at us. Maybe that's what this is about. They're laughing at us.
Well, this one is being used to, it's a multi-purpose one.
Yeah, what's the agenda? What's the driving agenda? It's not gun control. We know that.
It's anti-toxic masculinity, obviously. So, you know, there's a lot of Irish men now realizing, oh, you know, we let our guard down. It's our fault. We better be toxic males again. So it's about that. It's about, you know, calling like sentencing. It's about challenging all sentencing that is in any way lenient towards like Irish men, not migrant males. They're the biggest problem in Ireland at the moment. But and it's just a big feminazi psyop, you know. I mean, it's some sort of a cult. They're building up a cult. It's being run by an international Jewish NGO called Rosa. And they
Rosa
have come
would
in.
Would probably be named after Rosa Luxemburg.
That's exactly who it is. Yeah. Yeah. And they're running it. They've brought in a big crew here. And just like they did.
I imagine they have fun. You might want to review their funding. That's always a big thing for me is who's paying for the show. Who's paying for the movie? Who's paying for the propaganda? The actors have to be paid. The performers have to be paid. So there's lawyers involved.
Well, you know. Yeah, this is them, International Socialist Feminists. I mean, they've got their, wherever she goes, there's all these posters with Rosa, follow her. And, you know, they do psyops all over the world. And it is a Jewish operation. And, you know, they brought in abortion. They helped bring in abortion here. It's all about, you know, bodily autonomy. Oh, and of course, in this case, sorry, Lynn, I forgot to say the LGBT element is there as well, because her story is that she witnessed a group of guys, one in particular, beating up a gay guy. Or not beating him up, just calling out some homophobic slurs. It never happened. It's all completely fake. And she came along and said, no, don't be using that language. And he started beating her to a pulp, as you do. So they've got the gays in there as well, obviously.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how an organization like this can be using the phrase bodily autonomy, because they probably support vaccine mandates, correct?
No.
They were probably fully on board with the social distancing and the masking and the vaccines. You can't be for bodily autonomy and still also be for vaccine mandates unless you're a complete hypocrite.
Well, hypocrisy doesn't seem to enter into these people's minds. They just get their paycheck.
Yeah, it's about the money. It is about the money.
It is. And it is a cult. You know, they bring in, it's a data processing operation as well, because they want to see how many young impressionable women that they can bring out onto the streets and how many they have on side. And in a small country like Ireland, that's quite easy to do, you know. So it's but it's imploding. I mean, I shouldn't even be giving it any credibility myself by
people
talking.
Are seeing through it, or they're rejecting it, or there's pushback, or what are you seeing there?
Well, I think on social media, there's a hell of a lot of pushback. A lot of people are calling her out as a fraudster. And
yeah.
They've just gone too far with it.
It's very heavy-handed. When they overplay their hand, you're right. It's much easier to expose them when they overplay their hand.
It is, yeah.
Like getting behind a totally fake narrative, you know. Now, they're saying that this attack, she was attacked by a soldier. Is that right? Do we ever get to see him? Do we ever hear his side of it?
There's a witch hunt on for him. That there's a school of thought that says he may not even exist. His name is Cathal Crotty, which is 33 CC. I'm not into numerology, but they are. and there's been a very blurred picture of him, but there's a big witch hunt now, you know, that he has to, because the judge gave him a suspended sentence. Funnily enough, this happened 2 years ago, but there was no talk about it then. But suddenly in the last few days since the court case happened, it's gone completely viral. But I fear at the moment, well, I don't fear, but I suspect at the moment what they could do, because they've invested a lot into it, I'd say they could be ready to get rid of her, to suicide her maybe, and then they will, you know, bring in everything. Of course, it's all about hate speech legislation as well.
You mean suicide the alleged victim? That'd be a bit extreme, wouldn't it?
Well, it could be, you know, from all of the hate that's being directed at her, i.e. on this stream and others, all the nasty far-right people calling her out.
Hurt feelings, yeah.
Hurt feelings. Exactly. Exactly.
When I was growing up, we used to say sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And, you know, in America, the idea of free speech is you can say anything, you can call anybody anything you want. As long as you're not physically assaulting them, you're entitled to call them anything you want, you know. And it's not an excuse to go running the police and say, arrest that person. They called me a bad name. That's the whole snowball or snowflake. That's the snowflake effect, right? Everybody's supposed to be so helpless and easily offended and fragile. They need the state, the all-powerful God state, to protect them against microaggression or verbal aggression. We hear that a lot. And there's a whole psychology to it. It's basically to engender a feeling of helplessness and dependency on the target audience so that now they will be more inclined to seek out protection from the authorities for even the slightest threat, slightest threat they might feel to their fragile existence, which is really pretty sad in a way. Sort of a, I don't know, it's a softening up of the population psychologically. I have heard that they're changing the election laws in Ireland and throughout the EU in the direction of proportional representation or ranked, what's it called? Ranked voting.
Mm-hmm.
That the EU now has new standards for ranked choice voting where, you know, you can have up to, I don't know, 30 or 50 choices on a ballot. What do you make of this? Is it just more window dressing for rigged elections or what?
Of course it is. Yeah, it'll allow a lot more smaller parties. We've had it really for most of the history of the state. It's proportional representation by single transferable vote. They say it's the most democratic form of voting that you can get. But look, it's just, it promotes clientelism and it promotes like multiple parties and lots of little parties that can be easily controlled. But no, it's just they're pretending. I mean, they're just pretending to give an appearance of democracy, because people are saying, what's the point in voting? And the more people say that, then I think the state is in big trouble, because all they have is elections. You know, that's really all they have left. They reappear every 4 or 5 years and then we never see them again for 5 years, except when they're doing nasty things to us.
This is astounding to me here in the United States, because they have turned this 2024 presidential election into the number one news story of the last 3 years. I mean, they started, it's so crazy. They start, you know, with the indictments against Trump. I was saying to myself, well, here it is. It's now 2021. And already you're talking about the 2024 presidential election. It's very strange. It's very strange. And it seems to me like they're desperate to keep people plugged in to the narrative of elections and fake democracy. That must be what's going on here. And it's particularly obvious here in the United States, where they can be conducting a media campaign focused on an election that's 3 years away, which is what they did starting in 2021. I don't know how they get away with it. I don't, but.
Well, it's all theater. That's what it is. It's pure theater. And in the same way, sports, you know, all sports is rigged.
So maybe that's how we should be rejecting the facade and the illusion of democracy, is by saying, oh, yeah, it's just like a football game. That's it. It's another rigged football game. Or WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. The technical term is kayfabe, K-A-Y-F-A-B-E, which I believe is pig Latin for be fakey. And what it refers to are the technical tricks that professional wrestlers use to make their entertainment look more real. And then the other aspect of politics besides the WWE kayfabe is what we call cosplay. Cosplay has been around for like 20 years now. That's where, and it began with a fascination with Japanese comic books and Japanese animation, Japanese anime. And people would get up in Japanese anime style costumes and become the characters in these Japanese anime comic books. And now they have huge conventions. But the politics itself is cosplay. Someone puts on a MAGA hat, or they're all wearing the American flag, you know, flag shirts, and they're wearing slogans. It's cosplay. They're acting out this fictional political situation where really they have nothing to say about the result. The result's going to be rigged one way or another. And elections are fake. And democracy turns out to be an illusion. That's a pretty harsh thing to confront people with, you know. I mean, in the West, all we've been hearing for the last 100 years is how, you know, we're the citadel of democracy. Democracy here, democracy there. And even after January 6th, all we kept hearing about was our democracy, threat to our democracy. So you're right. What we really have to do is deconstruct that massive illusion of what they call democracy for what it is, a total facade, a total fake job, a con, a swindle, a hoax. That's what democracy is. It's a hoax. Where do we go from there? Well, that's a whole nother discussion, isn't it?
Well, it can't be as bad as the current system, where we're not even allowed to express our opinions in public, and we have to put up with the most atrocious amount of nonsense every day. But once they lose the public on this, and they are losing the public on elections, on all of their psyops, you know, on free speech, on LGBT, on climate, on viruses, etc., they're in a lot of trouble, because what have they got? You know, and the young people are just switching off. They're not watching mainstream media. And so, like, change is going to happen. You know, people
should. This is an article we're looking at from the Irish Light.
Yes, this is our new edition. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're coming out and telling people directly, you're going to confront them directly with the idea that the elections change nothing. That's a harsh reality. People are, maybe not so much in Europe. I think people are a little more cynical in Europe, but here in the United States, it's like people are clinging to this upcoming presidential election as though somehow or other it's going to save everything. Really, this religious cult following that Trump has, like he's some kind of messiah.
The father of the vaccine. The father of the vaccine. Well, there's an awful lot on the, you know, in the truther industrial complex who are, you know, still promoting elections, still promoting Trump. People are not supposedly on our side. And if people don't see through those types now, that, you know, like we call them out all the time, UK Column and Tucker Carlson, and like, if people don't see it at this stage that they're completely controlled as well, then I don't know. What do you think?
Well, you know, at the point that people can no longer, at the point that they abandon and walk away from this stuff, that's when the population becomes dangerous, right? Because if people turn their back on elections, I can tell you here in the United States, they're going to be checking to make sure they have ordnance. That's always the implication here, that if the courts are rigged and elections are rigged, we still have the right to bear arms. It doesn't quite exist that way in Europe, but I expect to see some, well, some very militant resistance and reaction if people don't get the electoral result that they want. And
some
Well, what will happen, as I say, the day after, you know, the day after the election, if Trump gets elected, you know, there's going to be millions of these NPCs out there, people who identify as Democrats, and they're probably going to start rioting again, like with Antifa and Black Lives Matter. There's a real possibility that will happen. Just like last time. How much of that will be staged and scripted? Probably most of it. But I suppose we should be anticipating that that could happen, that there will be people who will not be happy with another 4 years of Donald Trump. On the other hand, if they rig it against Trump, well, then his followers will be convinced that once again, the election was stolen. So I don't know. I'm not so sure I see this resolving itself into any kind of peaceful outcome. I see it only increasing the conflict. And I'm thinking, how are they going to try to manipulate this conflict? And are they really going to return to pushing a civil war scenario as the sort of predictive programming option? You know, there's a there have been movies, popular made for TV movies, come out here. One even called Civil War. Not a very well made movie. But that theme is definitely being pushed in the media here, the idea that we could have another civil war. And you hear pundits discussing it on mainstream TV news networks. So that script is obviously in there. You know, they're holding that script in the desk somewhere. And maybe if they feel they want to use it, they'll pull it out and unroll it and start triggering events that suggest that we would be entering a kind of a civil war. That's a real risky thing to do. The consequences could be very unpredictable for doing that. You would never see a situation like that in Ireland, would you? I mean,
well, we had a civil war. I mean, I think it was completely fake. I mean, it was just, again, it was so like COVID. It was about dividing people, you know, to one side and the other. And now we realize that there wasn't any reason for us to be divided.
Well, are you talking about in the aftermath of Irish independence in
1920? Yes, so-called. But there's no prospect of it. The Irish are united at the moment because we're united against the immigrants. So there's no prospect of anything
like
that.
Is there a mainstream political party in Ireland that is about reversing the open borders policy and stopping?
There's no genuine one. They're all completely controlled fake entities. There's no genuine one because it's impossible to to do that. I mean, I tried it a few years ago to set up a political movement that would deal with all of these issues, from, you know, big government to big pharma to you name it. And I wasn't allowed to hold meetings. I, you know, literally 300 Antifa would arrive and cause violence. So that's what happens when you try.
I mean, come on. What about these famous Irish nationalists? Where the hell are they?
Which ones?
Well, Sinn Féin. I mean, somebody. Come on.
Are you joking? Sinn Féin are Marxists. They're Marxists. They're all revolutionaries. They're all hardcore leftists. They've all been taken over by George Soros. George Soros came in here in the last decade, and he funded with the Jews. Yeah, he is a Jew. With all these Jewish NGOs and him, they funded all of the color revolution that we've seen, you know, abortion, gay marriage, et cetera, and they took over all the political parties. So, like, there is no
Irish national, authentic Irish nationalist political parties, what you're saying.
Not one. They all supported the COVID. They all supported the jabs, the ones that say that they're far right. But it's the same in France. It's the same in England. Look at Farage. Nigel Farage, the supposed face of Brexit, well, he was, right, and the face of English nationalism, he called for Tony Blair to run the rollout of the vaccine. And he lamented the fact that the vaccine rollout was slow. I mean, these people were more on board with the COVID than anything else. Look, the Jews set up the opposition in advance. That's how they do it. You know, they control and they set up and control the opposition. So, I mean, we had one candidate who everyone knows. I'm not going to say his name, but I mean, you know, we all consider him a great patriot, and he ran for election. And but yet his handlers were calling for the number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 vote to go to completely controlled opposition, people who had, yeah, who say they're far right, but who have promoted the vaccine. They say they're pro-life. You know,
right. So the vaccine is a litmus test almost, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And look at Trump. I mean, how could anyone who was against COVID be in favor of Trump? So, but I do think there's a large cohort of people who think like us and just don't buy any of it. They're starting to see there is a third way without politics and politicians, because they're just in it for themselves.
Now, one thing, and this may seem completely unrelated, but one thing that is kind of taking off here is...
Hello, Phil.
I'm sorry I'm late.
Better late than never.
That's right. Thanks.
We're only talking about your favorite subjects, elections.
Yeah, the fake elections. Yep.
What else would we be talking about?
They're all fake, yeah.
Well, we want you to come in a minute. Lynn, just finish that point you're about to make.
Well, that I don't know if this would be the same situation in Europe, but certainly here in the United States, I'm seeing all over social media a shift in people's views about whether we walked on the moon and how fake is NASA. And I think it's really growing. This they're on the defensive. They really are on the defensive about NASA's fakery. And more people are coming around. People who are otherwise apolitical or would never maybe look at 9/11 or never really look at the fakery in Gaza, for some reason or another, seem to be very sensitive to this idea that we never walked on the moon and that the space program is fake. Because there's a lot invested in it here in the United States, psychologically, you know, this idea of we're a superpower and we were in a space race with the communists and we got to the moon first. And of course, everybody wants to forget that it was the communists that started the whole idea of outer space with Sputnik. They invented that. They created it. And the Pentagon brass, instead of calling out Sputnik and Yuri Gagarin as fake, they decided, hey, let's have a space race of our own. And so that's where you see the true monolithic character of world power is in it's things like the International Space Station and the myth of outer space and the space race, right? That's a good